Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Our text will be verses 4 and 5. God's Word. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow faint or weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. This is God's holy and infallible word. May the Spirit of God apply its truth to our hearts and lives today. Beloved in the Lord, we have been looking at the theme presented to us by the writer of Hebrews of running the Christian life or race, as he calls it, with perseverance. And there were obstacles to that race that the people that the author wrote to, that they were enduring, that they were going through, that caused them to perhaps want to give up, turn away from following this gospel and living this Christian life. He points them to Jesus. And in verse 3 and 4, he reminds, or verse 2 and following, he reminds us that Jesus has endured and we need to see him and look at him. And then he turns from that picture of looking unto Jesus and having encouraged his hearers to look to Jesus for their strength, for their endurance. He says in verse 5, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? He sort of takes a turn at this point. And I would remind you that our author takes a pastoral approach at this point, a very loving pastoral approach in which he's trying to encourage these people who are faltering, failing, wanting to give up, not sure of where they're headed in their Christian life and in their faith. And he's trying to encourage them. And one of those encouragements is to delve back into the scripture. And he says, have you forgotten this encouragement from God that he gave you in his word? Let's look at that for a moment before we look at how the responses to this encouragement are seen. He says, have you forgotten? Forgetfulness is one of the causes, or is the cause of many of our problems. We forget. We don't bring it to mind. We go through certain problems. We face certain difficulties. Family problems, they're always the big ones, because we can't get rid of them. We can't get rid of the family members. We're stuck with them. And sometimes in families, there can be enormous problems. We focus on the problem, but do you forget the encouragement to turn to the Lord, to find strength in him? And our writer is saying, in this difficulty that you're going through, don't neglect God's word. There's where the encouragement should come. But many of our problems occur because we forget God's word. We forget the encouragements that are there in God's word for us. He encourages us to seek him. He encourages us to remember that he is with us. He encourages us with many promises and assurances of his love and of his grace to us. And I think that what this writer of Hebrews is saying to the people that he is speaking to and to us today is, stir yourself up to remember God's word. Meditate upon what God has placed in his word, that truth that he has placed in it for you. It's God speaking to you. God, who has made all things, God, who is the Father and loves us, God, who has brought his Son to redeem us and make us his own, is not neglecting us. He's not a neglectful parent, but he is a parent, a Father, a heavenly Father, who has given us mighty assurances of his love, his grace, his blessing, and he has placed them in his word. And so when we face difficulties, our first place to go should be his word, where we find hope. His word, where we find encouragement. His word, where we find that assurance that we will never be forsaken. Our writer says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? An exhortation, a written word from God. Have you ever thought of that? Hear this author, some 1,000 years after the writing of this passage that he cites from Proverbs, says that what God wrote 1,000 years ago, it's still good for you today. It's still meaningful, it's still powerful, it's still what you need today. And it is addressed to this group that hears this author of Hebrews, to these New Testament saints, and it is addressed to you, seated here today, and to all who hear the word of the Lord. As I hear this author say, have you forgotten the exhortation that, of course, comes from 1,000 years before his time? 2,000 years later, we hear that exhortation. Do you hear the echo in the mind of that great hymn written by Martin Luther, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, in which there's that wonderful line, God's word abideth still. God's word is still true today. That word that Proverbs was, in which Proverbs says, my son, do not regard the discipline lightly of the Lord. Don't be weary when reproved by him. Thousands of years later, you can take that word. You can hear that word. And that word is still, as the writer of Hebrews says in another place, living and powerful, and it addresses you. God is speaking to you today, this moment, through his word. That should teach us the reverence that we ought to attend and give to the scripture, and it should remind us that that is how God speaks to us, through his word, directly to our hearts, that we may know our Heavenly Father and that we may hear him as he speaks to us. And notice how wonderfully this writer pastorally speaks to this group of frail saints. Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? It speaks of our adoption into his family. It reminds us that God is our Heavenly Father. God is not now punishing me for my sins. That can never be, because he is correcting me. And that's what a father does. A judge punishes. God has punished my sins in Christ. The judgment has fallen upon him, so that as a son, as a child of God, you may know his loving correction. Not in wrath, but in love. It proceeds from his goodness and his love, and that goodness and love speaks to your heart and brings correction when you fall out of the way, when you stumble in your Christian life, and it lovingly surrounds you with your Father's hands and arms and draws you to yourself. He speaks to you as sons. This passage and this entire passage as a whole reminds us that the discipline of the Lord is a privilege that he extends only to those that he loves. It almost sounds contradictory until we see that discipline is not extended to the ungodly, to unbelievers, what is reserved for them? The judgment of God. But what is reserved for you upon whom that judgment has fallen in Christ is not judgment, but the loving chastisement, discipline of the Lord, patient forbearance and love with his children so that he may draw you and bring you to himself. How wonderful this author speaks to these frail saints and to you and to me, because each of us faces things for which God's loving chastisement comes in our lives for not one of us. And this passage, of course, is one of those passages that contradicts that teaching that has occurred throughout the history of the church and still in some places exists today. And I think it even exists in our own hearts in a way too. That teaching is that we have arrived at sinless perfection. You know, we've come to that point. Now, in our Reformed faith, we would say, oh, no, we haven't arrived at sinless perfection. We all remember that teaching of the depravity of sin, total depravity. And we confess that in our confessions. And we become very proud of our Orthodox confession. But I think there's still a tinge of that. We feel we're pretty good in our lives because of our confession and our right theology, as it were. We're a little better than others, and we have a bit of a leaning, because that's within our sinful hearts, towards not thinking of ourselves, each of us thinking of ourselves as a child of God, a son or a daughter who needs discipline. That is, God's loving, gracious correction in our lives. And if we were really honest, we would see that there's much in our lives that needs discipline. I often reflect upon my need of discipline when I was young and kind of chuckle about it, but it was true. And I'm sure that as parents here will attest to, you've seen that in the lives of your children, and even as they grow into adulthood, the children's children that you've been blessed with, they need to be disciplined. They need correction. They need to be lovingly brought into line with what is right and what is good. That's what our Heavenly Father is doing. And our writer is saying, don't forget that. And then I think he tells us in this passage how we may avoid the responses that are not good responses to discipline. What are some of the responses to discipline that occur? Well, in our children, some of the responses to discipline we already know. They either ignore it, they don't do what they are told, they're indifferent to it because they don't like it. And I think that that indifference is sometimes what we see spiritually in our lives, a certain callousness in our hearts, a general lack of regard to God's admonitions and instructions when troubles and suffering come upon us in our Christian life. We view them as inevitable ills that just happen in our lives, and we don't see in them that that's the hand of our Heavenly Father with his designed to correct us. We ignore or we miss God's sovereign hand in everything. We just had a song that was sung, and in that verse it said, every joy or trial cometh from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. The hymn writer got it. The hymn writer reminds us that we need to see God's hand in all things. The joys, the pleasures, the defeats, the disappointments, God is there. Don't miss what God is saying then to you through your troubles. What is he saying to you through those trials, troubles? He is calling you to renew your confidence in his sovereign providential hand, reminding you he's in charge, you are not. Reminding you that what you are suffering, what you are dealing with, comes from his sovereign hand, not to inflict as though he were some ogre delighting in bringing pain and suffering. No, not to inflict suffering, but to bring you to that point where you will turn to him and remind you that he is there, and that your only hope, your only resource, your only thought should be that my heavenly Father is the one that I can count on. He is sovereign in all things. And we fail in being indifferent to these disciplines. We fail to see what God is saying to us in those troubles. He is saying, trust me. No matter what, trust me. The history of the people of Israel is one gigantic example of that very thing. What was the one thing that Israel, as they came out of Egypt and as they were led into the land of Canaan, what is the one thing that was before them that they should have done? Trust in God. And we saw evidences of that when they turned with wholehearted repentance to the Lord on occasions, and God said, trust me, and they stood still and they saw the salvation of the Lord. Trust God. He can deliver them from the hands of armies. And all they had to do was stand there and watch, because God is sovereign. That's what God is saying when these trials, when these troubles come into our lives. Trust him. Trust him no matter what. Don't put your desires ahead of God's will for your life, but accept his rebuke, accept his discipline, accept those corrections as evidence of his love for you. And you'll see then in what you endure and what you go through, the lessons that are to be learned. If you're indifferent, you will not see those things. Some then are not only indifferent, some are overwhelmed by the Lord's disciplines. They lose their courage. That's what one of the dangers was to the hearers of the author of Hebrews. They were being oppressed at every hand, and they were dominated by the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire had one goal in mind: to rid itself of this plague called the Church of Jesus Christ. And these were suffering saints, and they were fighting what they thought might have been a losing battle, and they were losing their courage. Do you lose your courage? Do you lose your courage when it comes to witness? Do you lose your courage when it comes to obedience to God's word? Do you lose your courage when it comes to what you face and forget that I must rest wholly, I must rest completely, I must trust my heavenly Father because he knows what's right and good for me? But we become weighed down, even sometimes thinking God has forsaken me, forgetting all of the admonitions of Scripture that say that these tests, these trials, these disciplines are there, sent by God to help us. What does 1 Corinthians 10:13 say? No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And you're sitting there saying, I don't think I can endure anymore. I've had it up to here. I'm losing my courage. I'm losing my faith. But the word of God says his grace is sufficient for you. The word of God says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then even when the Apostle Paul said, I prayed three times that this thorn might be removed, it didn't go away. But God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. That is what we need to see in these times when we think we're overwhelmed by troubles. And we need to be reminded that the Lord disciplines those he loves. Verse 6 is striking, isn't it? It's a very unusual verse, but it is one of the verses that is repeated in different ways throughout the Bible. Happy is the man whom God corrects, therefore despise not the chastening of the Almighty. We find that written in the book of Job. Didn't Job go through the chastening of the Lord? Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, says the psalmist. Blessing comes through the chastening, the correction of the Lord. The book of Revelation says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. The word of the writer of Hebrews is, the discipline that you endure because God is treating you as sons. This must be a very precious truth if it is repeated over and over in different ways, but the same truth in all of Scripture. And that repetition is needed for our slowness of mind and heart to believe it. God says it over and over again. And here he says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourgeth every son whom he receives. These corrections, chastisements, flow from a love of a father who loves his children so much that he wants them to be corrected. He manifests that love and that care for us, and it magnifies God's love over and abundantly so that we may be reminded that he loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son. That's our heavenly Father. That's the one who loves us and chastises or corrects us. He loves us so much that he sent his son into this world to be our Savior, Mediator, Redeemer, who bore our sin, who bore our punishment upon the cross of Calvary, who died in our place so that all who believe and trust in him will be saved. And that is the message of the gospel. The same heavenly Father who corrects us and chastises us and treats us as sons is the one who sent his son so that we might be adopted into his family and enjoy the blessing of this relationship and fellowship with God. God loves you, is the message of the writer of Hebrews in this passage, in this portion. He loves you so much that he will not let you go. He sends these corrections your way because he loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you, to make you his very own, and he wants you to know that love in every circumstance of your life. So today, don't forget the exhortation of the Word of God that addresses you. You, as sons, the Lord loves those that he disciplines. Do you know that the Lord loves you? He loves you. Do you sense that? Do you hear that? Do you see that in his word? Do you turn to that as your only hope in all things? For that is our only hope, that we have the God of grace and glory who loves us in Jesus Christ. So turn to him, and in that Christian life and race that you are running, look unto Jesus, the author of your salvation, and run that race with joy that you have because you know that you are a child of the living God.